This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. You can find me on Twitter at The Denton Day. If you're not subscribed to our YouTube channel, go ahead and do that. You see this program live 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday through Friday. Then you get Craig Hoffman 4 to 7. You get some Denton's Office mixed in between there as well. You know that this is the program that loves itself some college football. Myself and Kevin each love it. I know Max is a college football guy as well. So let's talk some college football. Shehan J. Araja from CBS Sports is kind enough to give us a few moments here on a Thursday. Shehan, always good to catch up, my friend. It has been a busy and hectic offseason, I'm sure, to put it lightly, but how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I appreciate you having me back on.
So let's talk about the biggest news, at least so far, of the offseason, the adjustment to the seeding in the college football playoff. It felt like it was going to happen eventually. We just didn't know when. What do you think of straight seeding the 12 teams?
Yeah, I think it's probably the right decision. And look, I was somebody who was as vocal as anybody about the fact that I wanted to make sure that there were real serious rewards for conference championships. And certainly that was the case last year. I'd argue that we had the best conference championship weekend that we've had in a very long time. But I do think at the same time, once we actually got into the playoffs, it was kind of obvious. We had an unbalanced bracket. Of course, the teams 5 through 8 all beat the teams 1 through 4. They obviously were also rewarded with home playoff games that the conference champions were not. So I do think that ultimately it does make sense to move to a straight seeding model. Last year, of course, the top 4 teams would have all been from the Big Ten and the SEC. But I do think that it was a little bit of an anomalous year from that perspective. I mean, I look even into 2025, I expect Clemson to be in that conversation. I think Miami could easily get into that conversation. Maybe you have a Big 12 team jump up. But I do think that ultimately it's the right decision, and it'll make for the most, not just the best product possible, but I think also the fairest bracket possible.
Do you think this decision was done more for some of the things that you just relayed, or was it done more for some of the things that the Boise State athletic director relayed on Twitter, which is just to punish the small guy?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a great question, right? I mean, I think that it's a combination of the two. I mean, look, the reality is we had the first round of playoff games over the course of 2 days, and many of them, of course, were up against NFL games. And very few of them ended up being competitive. And so I do think that, like, that's, I think, part of it. I mean, one of the things that I think could be a benefit is, like, I think if we had done straight seeding last year, we would have gotten, like, a Boise State-Indiana playoff game, which would have been a great opportunity to showcase both those programs in a game that obviously both of them would have had the chance to win. And so I think that that's part of it. I think that, again, like, just the fact that the bracket was so unbalanced. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the seeding, I mean, there were teams that definitely were a little more excited about being the 5 seed than the possibility of being the 1 seed. And obviously, it ended up being worst case scenario with the 1 seed Oregon having to play Ohio State, who went on to win the national title. But I do think that people felt kind of the disconnect between the top of the bracket, middle of the bracket, and lower part of the bracket. And again, we'll see how it looks in 2015. But I think that it's probably going to project as something that makes a little more sense.
Do you feel like that some of the changes that are happening a little too fast?
Well, I think that the thing that is unfortunate is just how reactionary all of this is. And some of this was always going to happen. And what I mean by that is, you know, I mean, this contract that the College Football Playoff had, it only existed for 2 more years when they did make the change to an expanded playoff. And so, you know, it means that max, we were going to get 2 years of an unchanged system before we had to enter into a brand new contract starting with the 2026 playoff. But, You know, I think it's interesting, right? Because what if Arizona State gets a fourth down stop and all of a sudden the 4 seed beat the 5 seed and they were obviously rewarded and proved that they deserved to be there? And I think that, frankly, Boise State and Arizona State proved that they deserved to be in that conversation for a top 4 seed as well. So, no, I do think that we are being very reactionary right now. I will also say I think that that's going to be a relatively short-term thing because in 2026 we're going to have a new playoff contract that's going to extend a couple of years. And so I don't expect as many changes in that short run. The reality is with some of the 24-25 changes is that it's also part of negotiating for 2026 and beyond, you know, giving in maybe in some areas to compensate in other areas. So I do think that this is a temporary state of being, but I really do hope, like you kind of mentioned, that we don't just end up in this reactionary doom spiral every single year where we're trying to adjust for tiny things that really aren't that big a deal.
Shehan Jeyaraj, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on the team 980. We got SEC meetings going on in Florida, and you mentioned the idea of a negotiating process coming up in the near future. Will that be a negotiation, or is that just going to be Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti telling everybody else what's going to happen?
I mean, it's essentially like been explicitly stated as that. You know, they had essentially a memorandum that they sent out last year where they said, you know, essentially the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be the ones who decide what we do moving forward. Now, I think that what's always interesting about power struggles and about monopolies is, you know, they aren't necessarily the best thing long term for the quality of your product because, you know, again, like if you're in a situation, let's just use, for example, the 4 auto bids as a proxy for this. Like you're in a situation where all of a sudden people aren't really following the playoff race because why does it actually matter if so many teams are already guaranteed to be in? Why does a conference championship race matter? Why does a late season, group kind of matter? And so I do think that some of this stuff and some of this power will end up not maybe being as valuable long term as these conferences want it to be. And again, look, here's the reality, right? Like, I think that, back in 2023, Florida State as an undefeated conference champion miss it. Like, I think people rightfully felt pretty bad about that. I don't think anybody should feel even a little bit bad about Alabama ending up as the first team out as a 3-loss team with losses to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, who both would not have made bowl games if they didn't beat Alabama. And so, you know, I think that some of these exes are going to fall on deaf ears. And even on the auto bid situation, right? Like, I think that last year that was proposed and it was largely shot down because of backlash from fans and media and partners. And so I think that they're at real risk of overplaying some of their hands. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see in the next couple of weeks and months, I guess, ultimately, like, you know, to make a comparison, right? It's the dog catching the car. It's, hey, you have all the power and influence that you ever wanted. Do you actually even know what you want to do with this?
You know, I'm looking at some of the stuff that we have seen from SEC media days, and whether he wants to be or not, whether he should be or not, it does feel like Lane Kiffin is somewhat influential or at least has enough of a voice to make people care about some of the things he said. And it seems like Shehan, over the course of the last couple of days, he's reunited with the love of his life. Good for him. He's reunited with sworn enemy Paul Feinbaum, and he is leading the charge for no auto bids, or at least he's been very vocal about no auto bids, no auto qualifiers. Do you think we're more likely in 2026 to get 12 teams with no auto bids or have the playoff expand to 16 teams?
Well, I think that those two things aren't necessarily tied. I think that we are very likely to move to 16 teams regardless of what the system looks like. And one reason for that actually is I think last year, right, we have the auto bids. And then on top of that, we have the buys. And all 4 teams that had buys ended up losing. And the other part of that, too, is that none of the 4 teams that got buys got the benefit of a home playoff game. And those ended up being awesome. I mean, the atmosphere is there, the energy around campus. Also, by the way, like something that really added to it was like you had Tennessee fans try to travel up to, you know, to try to take over, you know, Ohio Stadium. I think that's great. I think that's great for the sport that people are trying to even organize things like that. So I think that 16 will allow us to have 8 home playoff games, which I think that people are, you know, that top schools I think are really going to be excited about. So that's one piece of it. You know, when you start talking about the 5 auto bids and 11 at large, I mean, look, I think that, you know, you mentioned Lane Kiffin has a very outsized voice. I think partially because he's willing to use it. And you look at a lot of the other coaches in the Big Ten and SEC, they really don't say a whole lot. They really don't give away a whole lot. Well, that creates a little bit of a power vacuum that Lane Kiffin can step into. But I think the other piece too is like, if you're an SEC team, you know, I mean, again, it's cool the idea that, hey, we get 4 guaranteed. And look, especially coming off of a year where you only got 3 teams into the field, which is kind of crazy. Like, yeah, you know, having that baseline, I think, is one thing. But the baseline of 4, I think, is more important to the middle tier and lower tier teams in the Big Ten and SEC. For the top teams, like, I don't think that they're scared to compete. I don't think that Ole Miss is scared to try to be a top 16 team like they were last year. I don't think Alabama, Georgia are scared about trying to be a top 16 team. I think it's more South Carolina. I think it's more Kentucky. I think it's more, you know, some Missouri that would love to try to shoot for the goal of being a top 4 SEC team more than necessarily trying to be a top 16 team in the country. So I think that even in these rooms, and this is true, I'm sure, in the Big Ten as well, there's some disagreement about how to best approach it because, again, like everybody's situation is ultimately so different.
Do you think we'll see, as we get closer to whatever change is coming next, that more coaches will start to be a little bit more outspoken? Like, it has felt like, you know, Sark has done some more interviews this offseason. Even Ryan Day, who is like, he's a mystery, it seems like, most off seasons, but he started to do more interviews. Do you think we'll see some of these coaches become maybe not quite Lane Kiffin, where they just go on like binge rage tweets, it feels like, but they'll at least start to speak more on these things?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I think that go back 5 years and, you know, 2019, 2018, 2020, that time frame, you have these established superstar coaches. Nick Saban, right? He has the right and ability to talk. You know, Dabo Swinney, who still is around, but obviously is not at the peak of his powers anymore. He had the right to talk. We kind of lost that whole generation. I'll even throw Jim Harbaugh into that. We kind of lost like the clear-cut top voices in college football in a very short amount of time. We obviously see this too on the basketball side with Coach K, Roy Williams, et cetera, all retiring at a similar time and kind of having this generation change. So I think that that's part of why we've seen some quiet in the past 2 to 3 years is because it's been a transitionary time. And you mentioned some of the voices who are stepping up now. I mean, Kirby Smart has been one who's been a little bit more vocal in recent years. Steve Sarkisian, like you mentioned, kind of moving into that top group. Ryan Day, now a national championship coach, moving into that top group. I think that's going to be part of it, is as some of these younger coaches start to take over the sport, per se, I think that we will start to see more of their voices come to the forefront. I mean, because again, you look around, I mean, let's just take the SEC for example right now. I mean, Greg Sankey right now is the most powerful voice in that room. That wasn't the case a couple of years ago. It was Nick Saban. Now, Kirby Smart can elevate himself to being as powerful or more powerful a voice. I think Steve Sarkisian is heading in that direction. Like you mentioned, Lane Kiffin is willing to try to compete. But, you know, again, I think that, like, Brian Kelly isn't necessarily somebody who has the right to be a bigger voice in that room necessarily. And so as some of these coaches have more success, as you have more coaches win national championship like Ryan Day in the Big Ten, I think it does change the dynamics and will allow some of these coaches to be a bit more vocal.
So we will circle back around to the topics at hand in terms of what the future looks like and all that sort of stuff. But I do want to ask you about the story that you wrote yesterday. We're talking with Shehan Jeyaraja, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, covering college football. on offensive lines. I think this is fascinating. I'm in the process of reading through all of it, so I haven't gotten quite through all of it yet, but I think the concept is really, really intriguing. What did you learn when kind of compiling the data and talking with people around college football about the depth of the offensive line position across the country?
Well, I think to preface this story is I think that offensive line play and slipping offensive line play has been one of the defining stories of football in the past 5 to 10 years. And furthermore, I think it's one of the hardest stories to try to contextualize, because you can count how many yards a quarterback throws for, or you know, how many times you hand the ball off. It's just harder to quantify and find empirical data on offensive line play, which I think makes it just a more complicated story. And so that was what I really set out to do this offseason, was try to sit down and see if I could figure that out a little bit. And talking to people around the sport, there's a couple pieces of this, right? The biggest one that I got into in my story over at CBSSports.com is I think that the transfer portal and NIL has impacted every position, but it's really impacted offensive linemen in a specific way. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I mean, it's harder to keep as many linemen as you did before. And, you know, you need one or two really good quarterbacks on your roster to be a good team. Well, you need like eight offensive linemen to really even have a chance to have a good line, and probably more than that as well. And so just keeping that amount of players with the relative financial value of these players at this point has just never been more difficult, because you have a kid go through for 1 year and maybe they're getting poached by a team who's willing to pay them just a little bit more. You know, I got a quote from Sam Pittman, who's one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time, now the coach at Arkansas, who like was like, God dang, man, like I have kids coming into my office who played two games last year and I don't even know if they're good, and they're getting offers from other places for a lot of money. And so I think that's one piece of it, is just, you know, offensive line play is so dependent on development over multiple years, and you just really don't have the luxury of having guys for multiple years anymore and creating these good units consistently. The other piece too, I think, is that, you know, from a literal coaching perspective, like again, you lose the development piece and you also lose the consistency and camaraderie piece. And you know, when you're talking about offensive line play, and again, like when you watch casually on TV, it's you don't always notice all the little details with it, but like offensive line play is all about communication and positioning. And if you don't know where the guy on your left is supposed to be, or if you don't know how to tell the guy on your right that, hey, this guy's coming from this angle, if you can't do that efficiently, then you make mistakes. And with offensive line play specifically, if you make one mistake on the offensive line, it's basically a drive killer. If a wide receiver drops a pass, you know, it's a bad play and you go on and do the next play. If an offensive lineman fails, that's a sack or a tackle for loss. And all of a sudden you're behind the sticks and it changes the entire complexion of the drive. So anyway, all this to say, I think that, you know, this is a defining issue right now in college football. And again, I think that, you know, I got a chance to talk with Miami's offensive line coach, Alex Mirabal, about it. And, you know, Miami has invested as much money, first of all, into their roster as anybody over the past couple of years, but a huge amount of their investment has gone into the offensive line position. They've had very few players relatively transfer, and I think that that's actually one of the reasons they were able to jump from a pretty good team to one that was on the edge of the playoff last year, and I think we'll continue to only rise in 2025.
It's so interesting, one of the points that you made about, you know, like the two games. And how many times do we hear that across every position? But a guy that's played two games, coming into your office, I don't know if he's good, but someone's going to pay him X amount of money. We're like 4 or 5 years into this NIL transfer portal thing, and still no coach seems to like have it fully mastered. It's crazy.
No, it's really, really difficult. And I mean, the thing is, too, is like, I want people to understand, especially when we look back at this era of, let's say, 21 through 24, like this was the true Wild West. Like this was the true, there are no rules. You can throw any amount of money around. There's no inhibiting on transfers. There's no commitment to binding commitment to being there for a few years. Like, and I mean, God bless the kids who took advantage of it, right? There's more money being thrown around. I would guess at this point it might be the most money that will ever be thrown around in college football, just because, again, there's no rules, and a lot of people understand, hey, maybe we can take advantage of this specific moment. But, I mean, look, you look at any other sport, there just isn't a sport that has perpetual free agency. And I don't think that you can have a healthy sport where you have that. Now, you know, look, I'm around the Big 12 conference a lot because of my background in Texas. I think that the Big 12 is a conference that's starting to understand, hey, our advantage is we can use our money to retain our own players. We don't necessarily need to use it to go out and get other players to fill holes, because maybe we don't actually, maybe we won't actually benefit from doing that. And another piece of this as well is that my colleague over at CBS Sports, Chris Hummer, did a study, and you know, obviously it's a number that needs a lot of context, but top 247 kids who transferred top 247 kids who did not transfer were 5 times as likely to be drafted into the NFL as kids who did transfer. Now, again, that's a number that needs a lot of context. And, you know, obviously a kid who's not succeeding is going to transfer more than a kid who's succeeding. But it's also context that, hey, you know what? Maybe it's also bad for players long term to be in this state of perpetual movement as well.
Shayon, I appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy the rest of the off season before we get things kicked up and rolling in a couple weeks.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Shayon Jeyaraj, CBS Sports, covering college football at the national level. You can find him on Twitter at Shayon Jeyaraj. His conversations are always a lot of fun. You know, we've had a lot of conversations surrounding the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness here on this program. Kevin and I feel very similar about it. It is madness. And, you know, getting to be around college coaches and people that are around college programs the way that I am, nobody has gotten this thing down. It feels like you can kind of, if you're a parent, you understand this. Maybe I shouldn't be making this reference because I'm not a parent, but it feels like you're putting out a lot of fires or you're cleaning up a lot of messes that your children make. Like, you understand if you have an infant or a toddler or a two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old, whatever, they're going to spill things. Things are going to get thrown across the room. They're going to leave areas of the house a little messy, and it's your job to be the parent to go and clean it up. It feels like that's what college coaches are doing. You understand issues are going to arise, that people are going to come into your office, say, "Coach, so-and-so is paying me X amount of money." And whether that number is actually true, because I do think that there is a lot of guys across the country that are fabricating numbers in an effort to get money from their current establishment, thinking to themselves that if their current establishment says no, that they might actually be worth that on an open market, which very, very few times has that ever come into fruition. And coaches have talked a lot about this. But with 4 or 5 years into it, nobody has seemed to master the concept of how to behave in name, image, and likeness. And I would think that 4 to 5 years into this is a good amount of data to accumulate. Now, I'll tie that back into the problem at hand elsewhere in the sport. The college football playoff is changing way too rapidly. If we have 4 to 5 years of data surrounding name, image, and likeness, transfer portal, and how coaches can kind of operate in that, we're making drastic changes to the sport and just the overall hierarchy of the sport with a year. We've had like 6 playoff games in the 12-team, or like, what was it? I guess it was 8 if you count the numbers down. We had like 8 playoff games in the 12-team model, and we're already making big adjustments. Now, I think it's fair to suggest that the straight seeding was going to happen eventually, but then some of the other changes that are on the horizon, no auto bids, expanding the postseason, you're making a lot of drastic changes very, very quickly before you actually get to see the ins and outs. 8 games is not enough to get an idea for what the future is going to look like. You need more information. I didn't mind staying at 4 for as long as they stated 4 in the college football playoff model, because you knew this is what you're trying out. And then eventually when that contract is done, you will then expand. I thought it would be to 8. They decided to go to 12, but they did that over 8 years. They did it 2 years short. They had a 10-year contract. They did it after 8 years. They did it a little short, but you had like 6, 7, 8 years in this model to say, all right, we like this, we don't like this, here's what we want to change. Now they're making changes incredibly rapidly, and I think you lose a little bit of traction, and it opens you up when you move too fast, just like anything in life. When you start moving too fast, mistakes are much more prone to be made, and that results in a big, big problem. And eventually, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you are not getting it back in there. We've seen that with name, image, and likeness. I'm fearful that maybe the college football playoff will be the next in line where things are just going to get out of control and there won't be any sort of fixing. In about 20 minutes, you will hear from Jayden Daniels yesterday, and something that I'm getting a little uncomfortable with on social media as it relates to Jayden Daniels. But if I'm sitting in for Kevin, we're going to do a little bit of daily news. So we got some daily news coming up next, including something that people are paying their real money for that you will not believe. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dentonday sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dentonday sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. Back with you tomorrow as well. Kevin is back from vacation on Monday. In about 15 minutes, I'm getting a little weirded out by how people are examining photos of Jayden Daniels. I will explain that in 15 minutes. But first, let's get to some daily news. It's been a while since we've done this on the program, Max. I'm going to start with an absolute banger. This is going to smack you in the face. Maybe it's a little too close to home. I don't know, but I'll let you comment on it once I give you the story. I had to double and triple check this to make sure it was real, by the way, and that I wasn't getting like NBA sent-held by another, you know, brand, if you will. Sydney Sweeney is selling her bathwater.
Really?
In the form of soap.
Really?
The way everyone's head in the fishbowl perked up was a little alarming.
Yeah, did you hear my really?
Yeah, but you got a little excited there. Maybe you're into Sydney Sweeney's bathwater soap, but she is selling her literal bathwater as soap.
Huh. Okay. I've seen weirder things get sold.
I have seen weirder things, but this one is being sold commercially. I think this is one of the weirder things sold commercially.
Who's doing? Is this a Dr. Squatch thing?
I believe that is the brand. Yes, okay. It is a Dr. Squatch. It is a limited edition.
Very limited.
She only
I'm sure.
takes a certain amount of baths. You know, I don't know what that process is like, but it is a limited edition soap that is made with literal bathwater from Sydney Sweeney. Fire this country into the sun. This is if you are buying bath soap from Sydney Sweeney to then scrub all over your body. That is a level of simping I cannot comprehend. It is not masculine. It is weird AF.
I'm just imagining the logistics behind this. It's like, no, Sydney, you can't get out yet. We need at least 2 more hours in this bath.
We need a certain time of you in the bath to properly get the bath water to the degree that we need it.
I mean,
she's going to make
her
money. Good for her.
She's going to make a boatload.
She's going to make a boatload out of this. And, like, good for her in the process. But, again, you are a sick human being if you are going to buy that as soap and then scrub it all over yourself. There are different lifestyles. We talked about Stephon Diggs' lifestyle he's living. I understand. My lifestyle might not be your lifestyle. Yours might not be mine. It's certainly not if you are intrigued by buying bathwater from Sydney Sweeney. But I saw this, and I was just like, this cannot be real.
You think Chris Russell's intrigued by this?
Can we get Chris Russell in here?
I don't know. He just walked by. That's why
I
asked.
Yeah, he just walked by. So we might send somebody to go get Chris Russell to get his thoughts on Sydney Sweeney's bathwater soap.
Sure.
I would hope that as crazy as Chris Russell is, he is not intrigued by that.
I don't think he will be, but I'm curious to ask him the question.
I'm curious. Can you send one of the three of you to go retrieve Chris Russell while I filibuster on talking about Sydney Sweeney and her bathwater? I mean, by the way, the labeling actually looks great. It's called like Bathwater Bliss.
Ooh.
That is the name of this. I mean, it'll be blissful. It'll certainly be blissful. I just, again, I cannot comprehend that some executive, that had to be a weird conversation.
Like, a bizarre
conversation. We're going to sit you down for a meeting and we are going to sell your bathwater.
So, you know, I imagine the conversation started with, so you know OnlyFans, right? And you know how people sell their bathwater. And she went, they what?
She's like, that's real?
That's a real thing?
I thought that was just something weird that people put on my Instagram comments or my Instagram messages. It looks like Chris Russell is giving pushback, which means Chris Russell is not going to join. And I'm sure he has like a podcast that he has to tape, but I'm instead going to take that as we have found a story that is too weird for Chris Russell.
Agreed. I think he doesn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole.
He does not want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I'm stunned, actually. I have to be honest. All right, story number two. I came across something that I actually found to be fascinating. Are you a cruise person? I am a big cruise person. My family is huge when it comes to cruises. I found a cruise that is available. It is a lifetime membership kind of a deal in which you can pay $1 million to buy a residence on a Blue Zone cruise. Do you like cruises just period general?
I've never been on one.
Okay, so I would not start with a lifetime cruise.
My mom is staunchly anti-cruise, but she gets seasick, so that's a thing for her, so we're not a cruise family. But I'm open to it. I've heard cruises can be interesting but isolating, and eventually you just get tired of being on the boat.
You get tired of being on the boat, which is something about this particular story that I found to be maybe the most fascinating, because it's a lifetime sort of deal. So you buy, it's a lifetime Blue Zone cruise. It's run by the MV Narrative. It's their first ever Blue Zone cruise that's inspired by the diet and exercise and lifestyle habits of the Mediterranean, which is known for exceptional longevity. And things offered on this cruise are heavily plant-based diets, an all-inclusive gym spa situation. Normally when you go on a cruise, you got to pay extra for like certain spa things, but you pay that all in one big fee. So you get like hydrotherapy, infrared spas, which are a thing that people do. I don't know the benefits of infrared spas.
I don't think they work.
I will take somebody else's word for it. But you can get all of these things. They have weight loss supplements on there, which literally the article says a copycat version of Ozempic, which red flag, red flag. I'm going to need a little bit more information on this copycat version.
Yeah, you're doing a copycat version of Ozempic on international waters.
Like just being, oh, it's the same thing. I've been told that with things before. Have you ever had store brand Doritos? It's the same thing. It is not the same thing. So I was a little perturbed by that, but I did like some deep diving on this because I'm a cruise person. I like going on cruises. The longest I've ever been on one is 7 days. So 60 years might be a little too much for me. That's a big jump to make in one foul swoop. But I looked at like the boat. The boat is fascinating. It's only 530 rooms compared to 2,000 on a regular cruise ship. There's like schools on there, so it's like Suite Life on deck if you watch that show. The issue that
Very
I had with
Suite
this,
guy.
Big Suite Life guy, me
big
too.
Suite Life guy.
The issue that I had with this, Max, is it feels a little too utopian. There's five. Yeah. It's like your own little civilization on a boat. One, if you hate people, you got to figure that out.
Yeah,
because like they're not going nowhere, you're not going nowhere. There's too much money at stake. There's literally a helicopter pad at the top of the boat because that's the kind of money that you're dealing with. Like these are oil tycoons that want to get away from somebody. So I'm just going to live on a boat for 60 years. It feels a little too utilitarian and utopian for me. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like it's like Wally, you're on this own little like civilization. And what happens? You're in the middle of the ocean and World War III breaks out. Your home's gone. Now your boat is the home. I was reading it. I was like, wow, this is cool. They have a recording studio. That's sick. As if I need to do a recording studio. Like I'm a rapper of some kind.
You got to record your podcast.
I could record a podcast. Maybe that's it. You know what? That actually could be great. Here's a content idea for my bosses that are great people. If they want to spend $1 million to put me on a cruise for a year, where I can come back looking shredded because of the copycat Ozempic, assuming it doesn't stop my heart and kill me.
Not in a year. Hopefully. Two, maybe.
So we'll cap it at a year then. But the other thing, the other issue that I had with this in doing the research, because I got a brochure emailed to me. They have my email now. I'm serious about this. All of the stuff on the brochure was computer generated in that it's not like it was actual pictures of the ship.
Oh.
So not only does this have like this weird utopian feel, it also feels a little fire festy. I don't need no fire fest in my life.
Yeah, I'm starting to take a closer look at the pictures that are on this CNBC article.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
They are very AI.
It's very, very AI. And that feels like a scam, a Ponzi scheme waiting to happen. Give me $1 million, and then by the time you show up to the ship port, the ship ain't there. Because it never was there. Maybe it's a little boat. Could not be me.
Little dinghy.
Little dinghy. Like, the concept is cool. I'll be the second class that goes on. The first class, I'm good. Send Katy Perry. She wants to be the first of things. Katy Perry, go live on a boat for a year, and let me know how it turns out. All right, coming up next, I'm a little weirded out by some of the stuff surrounding Jaden Daniels. I will share why, and you'll hear some conversation from the coaches about this particular topic when we get back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day on the Team 980.
All right, the Washington Nationals get back in the win column last night, beating the Seattle Mariners by a score of 9-0. James Wood hit his 15th home run of the season. Robert Hassel with his first career home run in the big leagues. Trevor Williams credited with the win. He pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 hits, and earned 2 strikeouts. The Thunder, they crushed the hopes and dreams of the Minnesota Timberwolves, 124-94. The MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, led OKC with 34 points, 7 rebounds, and 8 assists. The Florida Panthers, they pulled it out in the third period. The Caps killer Carter Verhaeghe scores the go-ahead goal as they close out the Canes 5-3 tonight. The Oilers will take on the Stars at 8 p.m. on ESPN, and the Pacers look to finish off the New York Knicks at the Garden tonight at 8 on TNT. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type at the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, and Cliff Kingsbury all spoke yesterday. I have noticed something a little odd on social media. And I understand the premise of these conversations, Max, I do. It doesn't make it less weird. We saw that picture of Jaden Daniels from OTAs last week. Or I don't know if it was OTAs in specific, but it was a workout at the team facilities wearing the yellow jersey. He looked jacked. Like, whoa, those arms, a lot bigger. Lot bigger. He's put on a little bit of weight. Everybody wanted him to bulk up. It looks like he's bulking up. That was cool. That was fine. It was one picture. It was very clear.
Mm-hmm.
He is jacked. It is now officially weird, and it is going to be weird, and it's going to get weirder when every time we see a new picture of Jaden Daniels, people are going to comment on how much he's bulking up, what his arms look like. It is going to get weird, and it might get borderline uncomfortable. I don't like the social media, the social media people coming to. Actually, it looks like he's gained 7 pounds. Like I'm good. I don't need you to get on his scale for him. I don't need any of that. So here's Jaden Daniels yesterday speaking about his plans for getting bigger.
I was just in the weight room, just working out. You know, you're always trying to improve in different areas, but yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Just let the people talk about it.
And he is weirded out by it, too. Not used to, and he shouldn't be used to, doesn't want to get used to, having pictures of him basically be like, not psychoanalyzed, but physioanalyzed. Like, it's very, very weird. Again, that first one made sense because we hadn't seen him for a couple of months. You know, he went to Paris. He's just enjoying the offseason. And when we did see him, we saw him at a women's basketball game supporting Juju Watkins. And he is, you know, sleeves on, right? Can't see his arms, sleeves on. At that point, it was March, kind of cold. He got a jacket on, whatever, right? Just normal March attire. But then you start to see the pictures where you can see his arms and everyone's getting deep into it about like, oh, look at how much bigger he is and all these things. is very weird. I don't need an entire offseason of constantly being barraged with photos of my quarterback being like, look at how much bigger he is. Pause. Full pause. As in, like, don't do it anymore kind of a pause. It just, it's very, very weird. And I understand, like, it's offseason. You need things to talk about, especially on social media. That is like peak offseason content. How much bigger is Jayden Daniels? But it is weird. It's very, very weird. He said some more, it looks like, about that. So I want to get to, I'll play seven here. Max, this is Jayden Daniels on if he had planned to bulk up this offseason.
Nah, I was just working out. It wasn't like I need to eat this amount of much. No, it was just go out there, have a plan, and, you know, naturally just put on weight.
It's funny what happens when you get an entire offseason under an NFL system. You know, in college, you're in control. You're controlled in a lot of instances in college. You know, the coach decides and your coaches decide what you eat, when you eat it, all these sorts of things. When you go to class, if you go to class, depending on who you are and certain whatever programs. Most of these guys are taking online classes. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different decisions that go in. But when your entire job is to do the workouts, the eating, getting better at the playbook, getting better on the VR, all the things that Jayden Daniels, I'm sure, spent a lot of time doing, you will naturally get a little bigger. Here's the thing that he talked about that I think is actually the biggest deal of the things that he talked about. This is Jayden Daniels on Terry McLaurin's contract situation. Terry was not at OTAs yesterday. The contract situation is believed to be the reason for that. Here's Jayden Daniels on Terry's contract.
Me and Terry got a good relationship outside of football, so you know, obviously he got to handle what he has to handle, and, you know, but that doesn't change anything. The fact that, you know, he's part of our brotherhood, you know, we know Terry's working and everything, so we got to get better, and he knows he got to get better each and every day.
I am not worried about Terry McLaurin's contract situation at all, for the simple reason is that we have done this song and dance before. When you have seen the movie once, you already know how it's going to end. We've seen this movie before. Terry McLaurin wanted and deserved a new contract years ago, got a new contract, did this where he wasn't at OTAs. No holdout. He was not a holdout. You don't hold out of OTAs. That's not how OTAs work. They are voluntary. That's why I didn't do a whole spiel today on Marshon Lattimore and Laremy Tunsil and Terry not being there. I would like them to be there, but it's not required for them to be there. It is voluntary. It would be better, I think, if guys like a Marshon Lattimore, who did not end the season on the greatest note, or a guy like a Laremy Tunsil, who was rumored to have maybe some leadership shortcomings, it would be nice if they showed up to OTAs, but it's not a big deal if they don't. Not required. There are things that happen at our job here that are not required that we don't go to. Happens all the time. Been to one all-hands meeting in my 4 years of this company. It's probably the only one I'm going to go to. Not required. Hey, we want you to be here. Not going to be here, right? So I'm not mad at that. But with Terry, we have seen this before in that same thing happened years ago. And what came out of it? He got a contract. And when he got a contract, he spoke about how much he loved it here. And then he went on to have two decent years. And then one really, really good year when he finally got a quarterback. I don't anticipate that is going to change at all. Once Terry gets his money, he is going to be here. He's going to show up. And then him and Jayden, hopefully, are going to eat top some of the things that they did last year. And what they did last year was some of the best success that a Washington wide receiver has had in franchise history here. So I am not worried about Terry McLaurin. And I do like it when a guy like Jayden Daniels, who, whether he views himself as like this big, massive leader or not, knowing that he is, when he gets to a microphone and understanding that they are going to rather lift Terry McLaurin up, say he needs to handle what he's going to handle. We still love him. He's still part of the brotherhood. We know he's working hard. I think the "we know he's working hard" was a really crucial part to this conversation, to this sentence here by Jayden Daniels, because it effectively said we know that he is not just slacking. It's not like he's just on vacation. You know, Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be in OTAs last year. He went out of the country. Terry's not doing that. He's not in Egypt hanging out. He's still putting work in. He just is not around the team right now as the agent and the team work on the contract and get those things situated. And now it's just a question of what is that number going to be? I happen to think it's going to be at least 31. If DK Metcalf Metcalf got 30.5. I think Terry McLaurin is going to get at least 31. If Ayuk got 30, McLaurin should get more than Ayuk. That's just the nature of what this position is. That's the nature of how contracts work in the NFL. One guy got X, I got to get Y. And it needs to be bigger, and it needs to be a little bit better. I need to maybe a no-trade clause in there in some capacity. I happen to believe that if Terry McLaurin wants to be, Terry McLaurin should be a Commander lifer. I don't think there should be a need to move on from him unless that contract is just heavily, heavily screwed on the back end. But I trust the dorks in the front office. Dorks said, with a sign of respect, but if you got a bunch of Ivy Leaguers in there, you're going to flex these Ivy Leaguers. I'm going to call them dorks. I think the dorks in the front office, is that if they get that money right and make sure it is a team-friendly as the years progress, I think it'll be fine. And by the way, team-friendly doesn't mean pay cut in this instance. Team-friendly just means it is a contract that benefits the team as the contract goes on, the same way that it could benefit the player. If winning is the goal here, team-friendly contracts are going to be very, very essential throughout the years to make that happen. Still getting guys paid what they are deserved, just making it easier for the team to pay you what you deserve and to pay other people what they deserve to help you win and get this franchise back to glory. And then you and me and all of us can be celebrating on Independence Avenue. All right, that's it for me today. Chris Russell coming up next. I'm back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Excited for that show. We're going to have Rick Kamla on the program. Ben Standing will be on the program as well. You don't want to miss it. I'll see you at 10 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Chris Russell next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.